of our heart. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. As you know, we're right here in the Lent season, and that probably ought to be the desire of our heart. We want Jesus more than anything else, and I certainly hope that we're taking this time of Lent, season of Easter, to refocus on the Lord and all that He's doing in and through us, and allowing the Lord to just move and bless in a powerful way in your heart and life. Well, before we get into the message this morning, I do want to just remind you of the Easter invitation. It's there on the table in the foyer, and you hopefully have maybe even given some of these away at this point. And if you have, thank you, and I pray that you continue to invite, and there's more of them there in the foyer for you to share with family and friends and neighbors and coworkers and strangers and, yes, all those individuals and anybody in between. And so what a joy to be able to gather together. And all those of you that are joined with us online this morning, if you're local in the area, what a wonderful opportunity to come out and be part of the body of Christ here at the church through the Easter season. And we invite you to come as well. But we're so thankful, too, that you're joining us online and worshiping with us and praying that you're experiencing the Lord in this Lent season as well. And then we also do want to remind you of the Lent Challenge. I know some of you take that very seriously, and I hope that many of us are. And you know what those things are. Don't need to remind you of each one of them this morning, but I might just throw a question out there. How are we doing? I see some of those smiles and laughter, and so let's stick to it, because I believe God has something special for us this Easter season. And I believe if we do our part, you can count on God doing His. And so I hope that you'll pick up that challenge and allow the Lord to bless you in very special ways this Easter season. Well, we're going to continue this morning the sermon series entitled Torn, and that's in direct connection to the veil in the temple that we talked about last week that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place. And we know that when Jesus died on the cross, that the veil was torn in two, giving us access to the Lord like we've never known before. And so today we want to talk to you about more than forgiven. And we truly are. And we'll share that with you. How encouraging is it to hear the words, "You are forgiven"? Such precious words. How we long to hear these words from, especially from someone who we've hurt or have offended in some way or another, hopefully not intentionally, but to recognize that they're forgiven us for whatever that is. Is this the need? Not what drives us here today. Is this the need that brings us here? I believe it is. The need to hear these reassuring words from the lips of our Savior. I forgive you. Nothing more precious than to recognize Jesus forgives us for our sins. I want you to know this morning that those words belong to you. To each one of us. Because of the cross and the empty tomb of Jesus. There's forgiveness. In fact, there's more than forgiveness. So when we think about forgiveness, is that enough for you? What did you think about that for a moment? Is forgiveness enough for you? Do you want anything more? We might even be thinking, what more could there be for us than forgiveness? I fear too often we content ourselves with certain surface-level blessings while missing out on the depths and the riches of the Lord's grace and the peace He offers us today. When Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 through 19, he prayed in reference to the people may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I want you to know this morning that you are forgiven. If you've asked Christ to come into your heart as Savior, you are forgiven, and there is so much more. As Paul prayed, the width and depth and height of the love of God, that we might comprehend it, that we might understand it, and that we'd be filled with all the fullness of God. How precious. I want you to know this morning, you are forgiven and there is more. Can you say that with me this morning? There is more. One more time. There is more. I want you to know that there is more. And I just don't mean more. I mean more and more and more and more. Dot, 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 dot. More, more, more. Dot, dot. There is so much more than just forgiveness. Not that forgiveness isn't important, because it absolutely is. That's why Jesus went to the cross, so that we could experience forgiveness of our sin. But He gives us so much more. You would find over in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 and 24, shares with us in this more, because I want us to grasp that there's more. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God. Part A of verse 22 and then 24, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Better things. The blood of Abel cried out for justice, for revenge. But the blood of Jesus speaks words of forgiveness and so much more. How much more? Have you ever wondered? Maybe you haven't, maybe you have. How much more is there? Well, I believe this morning we're able to share with you some of the more, not all of the more. But I would like for us this morning, as we think about more than forgiven, to consider Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 this morning. And in it we discover, yes, more. Let's stand this morning if you would. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 this morning. Once again, Romans chapter 5. Listen to the more that the Lord shares with us. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and that perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Join us this morning. A word of prayer. Dear precious Father, Lord, as we come to you this morning, we are so thankful that we're able to gather together on this second week of Lent. And Lord, continue to refocus our heart and mind on you. And so today as we gather, can we grasp, Lord, that there is so much more of you to be gained. And I ask that you would just sweep across the heart and mind of your people this morning, and that we would experience for ourselves the more. Lord, I ask that you would allow Romans chapter 5 to speak clearly to us about all that you have done and given for us, that we might in this Easter season experience you so powerfully, so wonderfully, so vividly. Lord, we ask for your touch this morning as we share your word with your people. We ask in the powerful and wonderful name of our Lord and Savior. And amen. You may be seated this morning. As we kind of toss around this thought this morning of more than forgiven, I certainly don't want us to take anything away from the forgiven, because that is such a powerful thing. In our Sunday school class, we talked about forgiven and forgiveness, and it is truly just a powerful thing. But I want us to grasp that there's more in the life of the believer than just forgiveness. Forgiveness is important, but God provides us so much more. And so note this morning, you are forgiven, and God has even more for us. More for you and your experience with Him than you have right now. And I think that's a beautiful thing. More than forgiven. And so as we think about more than forgiven, Romans 5 shares with us four wonderful blessings. I want to share them with you this morning as we think about more than forgiven. What we discover is we are justified by Christ. That's part of the forgiveness process. We're justified. And when we talk about justified, justified is a legal term. Of course, it comes from the courtroom. And it means to be acquitted. Forgiven. No longer accountable. No longer responsible. And because of the cross of Christ at Calvary, you and I, if we've accepted Christ as Savior, have been justified. And if you haven't accepted Christ as Savior, you can be justified. You can be acquitted of your sins. You can be forgiven. Because of all that Jesus has done for us, for you, we are declared not guilty in heaven's courtroom. In the eyes of God, because of the blood of Christ, you and I are not guilty of our sins. We've been acquitted. We've been justified. We've been forgiven. That ought to stir your heart this morning. And if you've been weighed down by sin this morning, to recognize that you can be forgiven of the guilt and the sin and be acquitted is a powerful thing. That ought to lighten our heart. How are we acquitted of our sins? In addition to all the merit of Christ's perfect life, believe this or not, is credit to us. God sees us as perfect. Holy, just as Jesus Himself is perfect and holy. That's a lot to think about this morning. Because of Christ, God sees us as perfect and holy. That's an amazing thing. If we would note this morning, Hebrews, once again, verse 22 and 24. it shares with us, because we're justified, that one of these days we're going to come to Mount Zion and into the city of the living God. That's a beautiful promise. We sing that song today. There's coming a day, and there is. That day is coming. Can't tell you when it is, but it's coming. And those of us who are justified, forgiven, acquitted of our sins, we're going to have the opportunity to be in the city of the living God. Present with Him. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24 speaks of better things. There are better things ahead, church. God's got better things for us. Once we've experienced forgiveness, it's hard to think that there's something better than that. But there is more. Know today, in Jesus, there is so much more. More than forgiven. And this justification brings to us the second blessing that we see here in Romans chapter 5. And that is, in Jesus, there is peace. In Jesus, there is peace. Not only are we justified, but in Jesus, there is peace. And as we begin to think about this peace, we see that here in Romans chapter 5, that peace has two distinct facets or factors that speaks to our heart. First, peace refers to the end of hostility. We talk about praying for peace, or peace on earth, or peace in the world. It's the concept that it's an end of hostility and anger that's stopped. Jesus can bring peace to our hearts. The hostility has come to an end. I want you to know this morning that God is not angry with you. Now keep in mind that Paul is writing to the believers at Rome. Believers. Now there are times that God is angry at scenarios and situations. But God today is not angry with you. He is not looking to land on you with both feet. He's not considering how to punish you. I hear so often people talk about an angry God. And they leave this ideal that if we do something wrong as a believer, God is just waiting on the throne to strike us down. That is not true. Now, sometimes there are consequences for our actions. Yes. But God is not intentionally looking to hurt or harm us in any way. He's not considering how to punish us for our rebellion or our disobedience at times. As far as God is concerned, the hostilities are over. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are justified, because of what Christ has done for us, we have peace. We have peace with God. That's a beautiful thing. Is God going to share with us correction? Oh, absolutely. But know this morning, because of justifying faith, we can have peace with God. If someone to ask you today, are you saved? How would you answer that? That's for you to think about in your mind. Some of us might even say, saved from what? You might ask. Saved from the wrath of God? Yes. Absolutely. I want you to know this morning, if you are justified by faith, you have peace with God. The end of hostility between you and God. I don't know about you, but that's a beautiful thing. Saved from the wrath of God. Because of what Jesus done at Calvary. We can escape the wrath of God. Does that include hell? Yes, it does. I mean, church, this is the good news of the gospel. We have peace with God. I'm telling you this morning, if you're going to have peace with anybody, I hope it's God. Because that's what's going to matter in the end. And because of Christ and His work at Calvary, we can be justified and we can have peace with God. That's the good news of the gospel. But we also discover a second facet or factor this morning of peace, and that is the blessing of shalom. When we talk about shalom, shalom is a sense of wholeness in body, mind, heart, and soul. Very, very Jewish, very Hebrew concept. The other evening in dinner devotions, we talked about how we love God. We love God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. That's that wholeness of if I can say humanity, the wholeness of being human. And so we can have peace in the wholeness of who we are. Peace in the blessing of shalom. Scripture talks about a peace that passes all understanding. A peace that we can have in us when everything else is going wrong. This is a different peace. This isn't the peace that we have between us and God. This is the peace that God gives us because we're justified. And we know that no matter what the circumstances, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. What the circumstances are, we have hope beyond the moment. We have a sense of peace. That's that concept of shalom. We have peace in our heart, peace of mind. And God has established peace between us and Him. We might ask this morning, and I think we should, how has God done this? Well, we would find that answer over in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And it says to us, and by Him making reference to Jesus, of course, to reconcile all things to Himself by Him, whether things of earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through the blood of Christ at the cross of Calvary, not only do we have peace with God, but we can have peace in this world. Things of earth and things of heaven. Even in the midst of difficulty, even in the midst of trial, when everything is falling apart and everything is going wrong, we can still have peace. And I'm sure you've heard it said in regard to peace, you need to make peace with God. We've all probably heard that and more than once. And you might have even said to somebody, you know what, you need to make peace with God. But the truth is, we cannot do this. Only the Lord can do that. And I want you to know this morning, He has. He done it at the cross of Calvary. To give us peace between us and the Father. And peace in a world of trial and tribulation. Note, if you would, this morning, we're forgiven. We are justified. We have peace with God. But even this, believe it or not, is not the end of the blessings of God. More than forgiven, there is more. Help me with that. There is more. Isn't that beautiful? Justified, forgiven, peace, and more. We find in Romans chapter 5, verse 2, number 3, we have access to God's grace. Romans chapter 5, verse 2 shares with us once again, through Him also, in reference to Jesus, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have access to God's grace. I would pause for a moment this morning and wonder, what does the word access mean to you? I want you to think about that in your mind for a minute. Access. Well, the first thing that came to my mind as I was thinking about this access that we have to God's grace is the word available. Available. I hate when you see something that you want and you say, I'm going to go to the store and pick that up. And you go to the store and it's not available. Why do you have it on sale if it's not available? Isn't that a good question? Or you go online and you find this perfect shirt or shoes or fishing pole or whatever it is. And you go to purchase it and it says, out of stock, not available. Why did you even promote it? What's the point? I want you to know this morning, right here, right now, in this moment, the grace of God is absolutely available to you. You have access. The door is open. It's unlocked. It swings both ways. You can go in and you can go out and you can come back as much as you need and experience the grace of God. You have access. You are a VIP member of God's grace. That ought to stir your soul. We talked briefly in Sunday school class this morning when we talked about this access. And I believe I mentioned it last week. There are places we are not allowed to go. I mean, you know, employees only. The VIP room of if you're part of a club somewhere, all the, you know, you have to give so much money before you can go through that door. And there's high security places that you can't go. Even right here in Indiana, if you go to Crane, if you don't have if you're not military or if you don't work there and if you don't have a pass, you can't get in there. You don't have access. But I want us to realize this morning, you and I, because of the cross of Calvary, have access to the Creator of the universe. You think you're not important? You better think you are. You have access to God Himself. We shared with you last week there was a time, there was a massive curtain separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. Wasn't allowed in there. It was a symbol of separation between man and God. You couldn't go there. Today, we can go there. We have access because of the cross of Calvary. I hope we never forget we have access to the grace of God. Access. That's just a beautiful thing. And as we think about this grace that we have access to, in Christ's cross, God has dwelt with our past, forgiveness. But we might ask, what about our present? There's no doubt there's things that are going on right now. In fact, there's probably some things going on right now that are on your mind. You can shake your head, that's true. Some things you know that you're going to have to deal with in the next week or two. Maybe something you've even been putting off knowing you have to deal with. And so we might ask the question, what about now? We might say, how do I stand up beneath the pressures, the trials, the troubles, the difficulties of the moment? What has something to do with this access? That's how. Romans chapter 5 verse 2 tells us we have access to our Lord's presence. When we come to Him in prayer, and if we're dealing with trial and trouble and question and struggles, I hope we're coming in prayer because we have access. I think sometimes we forget about that the trials and the troubles of this world press us down and we forget that we have access. We can pick up all those trials, those troubles, those struggles, that hurt and that pain. And take them right to the Lord. We can dump them right at His feet. Because we have access. We can stand in His grace. And so when we do come in prayer, we stand confidently in His grace at His invitation. And with His full welcome. You are welcome to bring your hurt. You're welcome to bring your pain. You're welcome to bring your illness, your struggles, and your addictions. Because we have access to God's grace. And He hears our prayers. And because of His grace, He meets our needs in His very best fatherly goodness. Too often we struggle with the things of life because we've not given them to the Father. I was blessed to have good father. When I was growing up, there's nothing my earthly father in my mind could not fix. If I would break it, Dad could fix it. Whatever it was. If the car wasn't right, Dad could fix it. If life was going wrong, Dad could fix it. I want you to know that we have a Heavenly Father that can fix it. We only got to bring it to Him. And I hope we do because we have access. And so note, once again this morning, we are forgiven. We are justified. We have peace. We have access. And can you believe this? And yes, there is more. Truth, we've just touched the surface of the more. The final clause of Romans chapter 5, verse 2. rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Number four, in Jesus, God gives us hope and joy. God gives us hope and joy. Romans chapter 5 verse 2 says, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Of course, we'd understand that hope flows out of the glory of God, and so we need to think about the glory of God for just a minute if we're even going to begin to understand this thing of hope. And so the glory of God is the sum of all beauty, all holiness, all truth. It's the sum of all God's grace and love. When we talk about the glory of God, it really is the sum of all things. The glory of God. And I know you know this, but just in case you didn't, we were created in and for God's glory. And so if you ever thought that you were here because of you, I'm sorry, you have been misinformed. You are here for God's glory. And the truth is, you were created in God's glory. But as you know, unfortunately, we have fallen far short of it in our lives. The glory of God. Romans tells us that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Our souls longs for this to be restored. That hunger in humanity to worship something, to be right, to be whole, is created in us. Part of God's glory that was created in to humanity. And our soul longs for the glory of God to be restored in us. We were created to be better, to be completely loving and holy like our Creator. That was God's original intention. For man, for woman, for all of humanity. Adam and Eve messed that up in the Garden of Eden. You know that story? Shared a little bit of that with you last week. I mean, if we really think about it, how many times have we said something hurtful or acted out in anger? Only to find ourselves saying later, you know what? I should be better than this. But we've all been there. Deep down, deep down in our souls, longs for the fullness of God's likeness to be restored. And then reflect in our words and our actions and in our thoughts and our life the glory of God. Our hope, our confident certainty is that this glory will one day be fully restored. And there's a beautiful promise that it will. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2 shares with us, Beloved, now we are children of God, And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, Jesus, when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Once again, there's coming a day that the justified, the forgiven, the believer is going to be fully restored to God's glory and original intent for humanity. What a day that will be. Just a reminder. You're forgiven. You are justified. You have peace. You enjoy access. You are secure as you stand in grace. Not apart from grace, but as you stand in grace, you're secure. Your future is filled with hope. More than forgiven. The result of all this is joy. Scripture says we glory in tribulations, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Not because we suffer, but because of where it leads, and in light of all God is doing in our suffering, there is hope. And because of that hope, we glory in tribulation because of its destiny. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5 share with us, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Because of the cross of Calvary, we can rejoice in difficulty and tribulation and trial because of where it ends. The Scripture says our hope rests on the solid foundation of God's love. Verse 5 says, now hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God. The hope that we have is not in man. It's not in worldly systems. It's not in the structure that's around us. The hope that we have as believers, those who have been justified, is the love of God. Love, no matter what we suffer, God loves. No matter why we suffer, God loves. No matter how long we suffer, God loves. Listen, all the while tribulation, suffering, God's love is being poured into our hearts. Like a river whose source is the bottomless ocean of God's love for us. We have hope because of the love of God and the love that He has for all of us. That fountain of love was opened on the cross where Jesus hung, bled, and died. We're considering the blessings that are shared with us in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. But how could we not look at verses 6 through 11 this morning? In response to the fountain was opened on the cross where Jesus hung and bled and died. Romans chapter 5 verse 6 shares with us, just listen, the beauty of the word. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's us. Catch this. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. And I love this. But God. But God demonstrated His own love toward us. And that while we were still sinners. I'll back up a minute. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Here it is. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Oh, how I'd love to spend time on those verses this morning, but time is escaping us. But I want you to know this morning that there's more. We've discovered four wonderful blessings right here in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, and there's more. Today, we are more than forgiven. The Bible says we're justified. That's a legal word, if you remember. We're acquitted. The Bible also says that we are reconciled. Reconciliation is personal. It's relational. Maybe something we can all relate to. If I'm stopped by a policeman for speeding, some of us have been there. We want to be justified. We want to be declared not guilty. Legally acquitted. Remember this, if you got a heavy foot. Traffic court does not care about reconciliation. Pay your fine or do the time. That's how they are. I guess that's what they're designed to do. However, God does. God cares about reconciliation. Today, right here in these moments, God wants to justify you. And He wants to reconcile you. He wants to call you His friend, His son, His daughter. He invites you to spend time with Him in His Word. He wants to fellowship with you. Underline this if you're taking notes by chance. He wants you as a member of His very own family. More? All of this is yours that we spoke of this morning. And yet, can you believe it? Yes, there's still even more. And the cross, you're forgiven. You're justified. You have peace with God. You enjoy access to His throne of grace. You can stand firm in that grace. You have hope and joy. You are reconciled as a member of God's very own family. And there's more. Just one last blessing I want to share with you as we come to a close. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. I want us to understand there's more. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. I mean, put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Church, Christ died so that He might bring us to God. I hope that in this Easter season we're reminded of all that Christ has done to bring us to God. That's the ultimate gift. To be home. To be with God. We often say there's no place like home. Of course, as many of you know, Becky and I had the opportunity to be part of the ministerial pastors and wives retreat and took a couple days to celebrate our anniversary. And it was a great time and we loved it. But when we pulled in the driveway on Thursday, we were both like, you know what? There's nothing like being home. For the believer, home is to be with God. Therefore today, we should savor Him, treasure Him, cherish Him above all else. And we delight, or should delight, in His love for us. My, what a Savior. I want you to know today, you can be forgiven, and so much more. Help me out. There is more. And so here's the question I have for you in this Lent season as we're preparing for the celebration of Easter. I wonder, are you living in the more? Are you living in the more? Are you experiencing all that God has for you? Yes, forgiveness is ultimately important, but I want you to know there is so much more, and God wants you right here, right now, on this day, to begin to experience the more. Are we living in the more? I hope that we are. Let's stand together this morning. I'm going to ask Lana and Brian if you would come. And Dave, would you? I'm going to put a little pressure on you this morning. Can you lead us in I'd rather have Jesus again? And so as we ponder this question this morning, are we living in the more? Is it our heart's desire this morning to say, I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today? Are we living in the more? Maybe this morning we just need to step out and come to the altar and say, Lord, I'm not living in the more today. I want to live in the more. I want to experience all that You have for me. As Dave comes to lead us, would you be mindful of the Lord?